and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, September 16th, 2015. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at KingdomStrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the podcast, I'm talking with Paul Hauser about his Walt Disney World vacation, staying in one of the new studio rooms at the Polynesian Village Resort. Welcome back to the show, Paul.
Hey, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
So, you're a big fan of the Polynesian anyway, we know.
Yes.
Or at least of the pool bar.
yes.
So, talk to me a little bit about... First of all, we always like to start with the planning stages of the vacation, and I know that originally, you know, the studio room at the Polynesian was not the plan.
Yeah, exactly. The trip came together, I think, you would probably know this better than me, but I think it was only a few months beforehand. I think maybe May?
Yeah, I was going to say probably about 2 months out.
Okay. So, what kind of really happened with this trip was we live in New England, and we were kind of planning our summer vacation entirely too late for a New England beach or lake vacation. And so, you know, whether it was May or June or whatever it was, we were looking, for a week in August, which is best for us work-wise. And
hang on. Okay. Forgot to silence my phone.
Yeah, no worries.
All right, let's back up. So you started planning entirely too late.
Yeah, so we were looking, two or 3 months beforehand for a summer stay in New England. It's just not enough time. And so not finding anything good there, the obvious question arose, well, what about going down to Disney? We had been earlier in the year, end of January, early February. We were there for a week. But next year, in 2016, we're going on a cruise. So we wouldn't be going back down to Disney World, at least in current plans, till probably 2017. So given the distance, whether it was my wife's idea or mine, one of us just mentioned, hey, let's price out a Disney vacation. With flights at that time of year and the stay, it seemed reasonable, put it that way.
Right, sure.
And I think it was Coronado. Was it Coronado?
Yeah, Coronado is where you started. Oops.
Yeah, okay. So, we originally started with that. I had never been there, and we're the type that, if we're going to pay out of pocket, usually would like to try a different resort every time.
Right.
We are DVC members, so usually when we go, we stay on DVC points at Bay Lake Tower. But this time we said, all right, we're going to pay out of pocket. Let's try something different. So we decided on Coronado. We were... planning on that, had set all of our plans around it, our touring plans and everything was set around that hotel. And then Disney came out with a deal on the studios.
Yeah, now this was an interesting offer. So clearly they decided that they needed to, get the word out about these new studios because I haven't seen for Walt Disney World an offer like this in quite some time. They run them at Disneyland every once in a while, but it was a discount offer that applied only to this particular category of room.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was a really good deal, I thought, for, the DVC size studios. So I think we talked to you, priced it out, made sense, and just booked it again, I don't know, maybe a month in advance?
You switched over about a month out.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, I love the Polynesian. I had stayed there in the past a long time ago. my wife and the kids had never stayed there, and so she wanted to check it out. I had no reservations about going back again. We do go over all the time, being on the monorail, usually at Bay Lake. We stop there all the time anyways.
Right.
And the thought, too, really behind Polynesian was, it's summer, it's hot, we're going to want to be at the pool pretty much every day. You know, if we're going to do that, let's pick a resort where we can be at the pool. It has a good pool and whatnot. So Polynesian kind of just fit right in. So it was perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So talk to us a little bit about these rooms, because they're unique, really. I mean, they're not quite the same as the standard Polynesian guest room. They're also not quite the same, from what I was hearing, as most of the other DVC studio rooms.
Yeah, they are. They're unique to both categories. Much better, in my opinion, than either. They're definitely bigger. They're the biggest studio rooms you'll find on the resort, I believe. And from my experience, they did feel a lot bigger. A couple different things. The room itself, the actual living area, felt bigger. But more importantly, they have two bathrooms.
Right, so which is really nice, and then they're the only studio rooms with two bathrooms.
Yeah, exactly. And now it was a full bathroom with a tub and shower, a sink, and a toilet, and that was a large-size bathroom. I mean, this was very big. And then the next, if you're walking into the room, the next room was a stand-up shower and a sink. So there's only one toilet. It's not a full bath in the second one.
Right.
But, I mean, a family with kids, when you're showering in the morning, coming back, that kind of stuff, to have the stand-up shower plus a bath and a shower in the other one, and two sinks, it was great. So from that standpoint, it was probably the biggest difference in the room from other studios and other, single hotel rooms we've stayed in.
Right.
And then when you got into the room, like I said, a little bit more size, but they have a cool feature that I know some of the resorts are coming out with now, not all of them, but there's a pull-down bed from right under the TV. So what normally functions as like a bureau area,
right?
The TV on it is actually a pull-down single bed. And in the Polynesian, it was themed like a Lilo and Stitch bed, so my daughter was just in love with it, and it was a really neat area. So you could actually sleep. We had a queen bed, a pull-out sofa, and that drop-down. So it would sleep five comfortably.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, so it takes away a little bit from storage area. I will say that. They did add drawers underneath the beds in the queen beds, which I didn't know about until my last day.
Just kind of found them by accident.
Exactly. And I had been lamenting that, we're kind of living out of suitcases. It was the only downside to the resort was there was less space to unpack. But there actually was the same amount. You just needed to actually look. So.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. Yeah. Well, it's one of those things I think they, in some ways, borrowed from the cruise line. The cruise line makes use of the floating bed frames so that you can do the same kind of thing, so that you can shove suitcases underneath.
Sure. Yeah, we haven't done a cruise yet.
Right.
Yeah.
So, in this case, instead of having the floating frame so you shove the suitcase underneath, what they've done is put the drawers there, since they borrowed the drawers to put the extra fold-down bed. Now, was it a full twin-size bed, or is it more of the sort of slightly smaller bed like the Alligator Bayou rooms at Port Orleans Riverside or the new ones at Caribbean Beach?
It's probably the slightly smaller. It was not a full twin.
Okay.
An adult could have slept in it, but probably wouldn't be, a full-size adult probably wouldn't be very comfortable in it. So it's a little bit smaller. Probably the same as the other ones they've added in the mods.
Right, so, yeah. It's the same kind of installation, so that would make sense.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so this was also, I think, the first time you stayed at the Polynesian since the renovation work. So I'm curious to what you thought about the the lobby redo work and then the other new features at the resort.
Yeah, it was the first time we'd really been back. I had been while a lot of the construction was going on earlier in the year, but it was the first time we'd even seen it. So I liked the lobby. I liked the old waterfall. I thought it was neat. But the way they've opened it up now just makes it feel much more expansive. With all the different restaurants and areas and things they have going on there, it feels a lot less crowded. with the way they've opened it up. And really all they did was take away that big waterfall feature. I mean, they took that away. They added a tiki guy in the middle and opened it up. So for us, I loved the look of the lobby. I thought it was great. They've added the resorts, I mean, the restaurants in there as well. Trader Sam's especially, basically being the big one. They've added a bunch of other little things around. They changed the pool area up quite a bit.
Yeah.
Pool is still, you know, the same outline of the pool, still has the pool bar in the same area. They did away with all the cabanas. It's just seating now all the way around, and they added a kids' splash area. So for a family, the pool is much, much improved. It can fit a lot more people, lounging around the area. If for the kids, the splash area is terrific. That's great. There was still a lot of construction going on outside of that while we were there. The quiet pool was being worked on.
Right. Yeah, that's still under renovation.
I mean, it was completely ripped apart. There was nothing there. They were like, you know, just tearing the whole thing up. So that was still being worked on. But the rest was pretty much completed. And I thought it looked good. I thought they did a really, really nice job with it.
Good. I'm glad you liked it. Now, so there are obviously two particular new destinations at the Polynesian that I have to get your feedback on. The first is the we lost self-service Dole Whip at the Polynesian, but in its place we got the Dole Whip float option from the Pineapple and I.
Yeah.
So how did that trade-off work for you?
I'd prefer to still have the self-serve. I just thought it was a cool option,
right,
to have that self-serve down there. It's nice. It's right when you walk out now. So rather than walking in where you'd go back through to the kind of the quick serve dining and serve yourself, now you walk right through, and on your way to the pool or the pool bar, you have the Pineapple and I, so they'll serve you there. So it's probably an even trade at the end. If you were someone who was very good at make your own Dole Whips and could build one to the sky, you will be disappointed. But otherwise,
there's a bit more portion control now.
There is. But otherwise, I think it was a fair trade. And I think the new dining options that are available at Captain Cook's, which took the place, you know, which when they redid that area, more than make up for the lack of the self-serve Dole Whip. So.
Oh, okay. So were there particular things on the Captain Cook's menu that you noticed as new and improved offerings?
Yeah, I think the big one was the fish tacos. I think they've had them there for a while. Captain Cook's probably reopened maybe a year ago or something like that.
Roughly.
I think that was one of the first ones to open. So I'd had these in a previous trip, but since they had opened. But they have a wonderful fish taco there. Their flatbreads are pretty good, too. They have a bunch of flatbreads. I think they serve those, if not 24/7, through most of the night, which is a nice option. And then there were a few. My wife is the foodie, so she tried a bunch of different things there and liked it. But it seems a little bit more upscale. It seems like the options are a little bit better than your traditional quick serve fare that used to be in the area. So we ate lunch there probably two days, I think, and it worked out well. I'd have to pull up the menu, but the options we liked them quite a bit.
All right. Now the other one I have to ask you about, obviously, is Trader Sam's.
Yeah. So Trader Sam's was cool. It was a really neat experience. We ended up going there twice. Both times the kids went to Lilo's Clubhouse.
Okay.
Which is a really neat option as well, and we can talk about that too. But we sent the kids there for 2 or 3 hours, and then we went and hung out at Trader Sam's. And so luckily we had heard a little bit about the process of getting in and whatnot. And you have to basically go ahead of time. I think we got there at 3:15 or 3:30 and put our name in, and they gave us a pager. You don't have to wait in line, but you have to put your name in and get a pager. Once room opens up for the bar opens up at 4 o'clock, and once availability opens up for your party, they let you in. So it's not like a wait in line until people come out and you have a pager.
Okay.
They let you in. So you can go in ahead of time. You can go up at 3:15, 3:30, put your name in, which is what we did the first day. Went in. It's small. It's very small. I don't know how many people it seats.
Yeah, I want to say I've heard it seats indoors only somewhere around, I want to say 80.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right. I have some pictures of it. I can send to you for the site. But,
oh, good, good.
It's tight in there, but it's cool. It's very kitschy. It's got a really neat feel. It's got a lot of the hanging lamps, different styles. It's got a lot of different kind of island-themed decor that runs the gamut, all, you know, from standard type of like fishing to Polynesian type decoration, all the way across. So it's really, really impressively themed. And I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but the room's basically, it's interactive. I mean, it's an interactive room that when you order a certain drink, and again, if there's 80 people in there, every time a person orders a certain drink, certain things happen. And the room comes alive in different ways and different things happen, some involving the wait staff, some not. But there's something for every, you know, there's probably five or six different drinks that are specialty drinks there, served in a specialty mug. You kind of get a little performance every time it happens. So it's a really neat place indoors. Outdoors, they'll still serve you the drinks and the food. You'll still get them in the same souvenir cups if you want those, but you kind of miss the whole experience that is inside. So I would highly recommend getting the pager, getting there early, you know, depending on the time. I will say, I think it was Saturday, we got there early, got our pager, got right in at 4 o'clock. On Sunday, we wanted to go again with my sister and my brother-in-law who had come down, and they went at about 4:15 to check in because we were hoping to get in by 5, and there was no wait at 4:15. We went back at 4:45 to get in, and there was a 45-minute wait.
Wow.
So yeah, it's kind of, yeah. It's kind of hit or miss. I mean, it all really depends because it's such a small venue. It depends on who's going in and, you know, if they're just going in for a drink or if they're going in for a few hours. It's kind of hit or miss. I'd say, you know, get there early, get in. It's a really neat experience.
Okay. That does sound good. And, you know, did you try any of the, let's call them dramatic beverages?
We did. We did, yeah. You know, as much for the experience as anything else, they are pricey if you get them with the souvenir glass.
Right.
The Polynesian Pearl, I think is what they call it. It's the drink that comes in the pearl.
Right, right.
That's not that expensive, and it comes in like a – you keep the pearl, but it's like a plastic. It's not very there's not much to it.
Yeah, the not, other not drinks, as impressive of a vessel.
Right. There are other ones. I mean, there's an – I think it's the Aoa – then there's the Nautilus, and then there's the...
Yeah, the Nautilus is the one that I think is something like $52 with the glass.
Yeah, that's the big one. And it comes out in a Nautilus-shaped, you know, mug, and it's I think it's for two or three people to share easily. The Aoa is the same. It comes out with, you know, it's a big kind of sharing type. It's almost like a scorpion bowl if you ever get those.
Right.
It's like that, but it's a cooler themed mug. There's a couple others. There's one, and I think it's the Krakatoa Punch comes out, and it's a volcano theme. And so there's a bunch. I have probably four or five glasses now because every time you get it, you're gonna, we had to get the souvenir mug. But yeah, so we tried a few just to kind of see the difference. But there's so
well, sure,
many.
You had to have several drinks because you needed to fill out your mug collection.
That's why we had to have them. Exactly. We took one for the team so we could come home with the mug. So yeah, but it's cool. They do the wait staff too. They're very much involved in the theming and in the story and all that kind of stuff. So it's a lot like, I'd equate it to like the Jungle Cruise where your guide is in it and they're telling corny jokes and they're a part of it and they like being a part of it. And, you can, it's that kind of an experience. It's really neat.
All right. Great. Great. Sounds like it was a lot of fun. So
yeah,
was it enough fun that you would say that that's probably your destination bar over the pool bar or Tambu Lounge now?
Not necessarily. I think it's okay. Worth doing. I think it's definitely worth doing. I would check it out. If you're down at, you know, Walt Disney World, if you're in the area, it's definitely worth doing for half an hour, at least maybe hanging out a little bit longer. But, as a go-to, it's probably not a go-to. It's a lot. I mean, it's a lot. There's a lot going on in there. There's, you know, it would be like saying, you know, sitting in a ride for over and over and over. You'd probably get sick of it after a while.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah, so it's definitely worth the experience, but you know, every night's probably a bit much. It's not, you know, like relaxing and kicking back at the pool bar with your beer.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. So, we spent a lot of time talking about the resort because we needed the update, but you know, you had a vacation with your family too, and spent some time in the various parks and things. And do I remember correctly that you overlapped your trip with your sister-in-law as well and her family?
It was my sister and,
oh,
and
your
my
sister,
brother-in-law,
okay.
Tim. Yeah. So they came down. They had actually just gotten married back in January and February. I think their wedding was on February 2nd, 1st or 2nd. But so that was the trip that we were there at the end of January, beginning of February.
Right.
They got married in that trip. So they came back down. They actually had some like cool follow-ups to a Disney wedding where they, you know, you get another private dessert party so you can actually enjoy it rather than take a million pictures.
And, oh, nice.
Yeah. I'll let Tim tell you the story, but they did a bunch there. So they overlapped us by about 2 days. So we saw them down there for a couple of days.
That's a nice stagger because that meant you got to enjoy your own vacation and then also got to spend a little time with them without it being a big joint vacation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Yeah.
All right. So which parks did you focus on for your vacation? Did you hit the whole series or spend, you know, most of your time in one park versus the others?
Yeah, we did. We hit all four. But we really only spent a half a day at the studios and a half a day at Animal Kingdom for various reasons. Number one, it was hot. I mean, it was really hot down there at the end of August. So Animal Kingdom just was, that park was sweltering even. We got there early and it was hot.
Let's slow down for a minute and talk then about Animal Kingdom a little bit.
Sure.
I think that this was an unusually hot summer overall at Walt Disney World because we had the same experience in June with, you know, the temperatures actually getting over 100 degrees for the first time in years.
Yeah.
But you did spend a half a day at Animal Kingdom, and what were the things that stood out about that morning or that day, you know, good or bad?
Yeah, the new opening is kind of cool. So they don't do rope; they haven't done rope drop in a number of years, but they now let you through the gate a little bit earlier, and then have you queue up kind of, I'll call it the hub, but just past you go past the Tree of Life, and then you're up kind of in the center before you can get to any of the different, you know, lands up there.
Right.
So they have you kind of queue up there, and then I didn't know this; we hadn't seen this before, but they then have. To open the park, they have a smallish type of performance from like the Flights of Wonder birds and the trainers.
Interesting. And
really cool. A really cool experience where they have kind of they send the birds out and they come flying low overhead and they kind of do their tricks and stuff and come back. It was really neat to the point that they did that. They opened up the areas for everybody to walk through and the majority of people were still like standing and staring. Rather than running to different attractions and whatnot, they were still waiting for like the next thing to happen because it was so impressive. So,
well, hey, then it served its function. I'm sure that was kind of the point.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it was really neat. And so we did that. Then you know, we did the big rides. We did the safari, which was good, but again, hot, so a lot of the animals weren't up and active as much as we had seen them at different times in the past. Everest was a big one. Then we went over, kind of did Dino Land a little bit for my son who loves that area. And at that point, after we had done those rides and walked around a little bit, I think the kids hit that drum area and stuff. We were just, it was hot and the kids were tired. And Animal Kingdom is usually the park that we kind of take our time to walk through and kind of admire and relax. So given that that was challenging, we actually ended up just walking up and seeing if there was, you know, ability to walk into Tusker House.
It
was
probably
11:30, and we said, you know what, you know, early lunch or whatnot. Let's see. They took us right away. It wasn't crowded at all, which I was somewhat surprised by, given how crowded the parks were that week. And we were able to walk up and kind of luck into the, you know, breakfast slash lunch crossover.
Oh, nice. So, so not only did you get a walk-up character meal, but you got a walk-up character meal buffet brunch.
Yeah, exactly. So it could not have worked out any better. Yeah, it was. We probably walked up at about 11, maybe 11, just after 11 or something like that. So we were there from 11 to probably noon, probably sat for an hour. Yeah, and had the whole crossover. It was great. It really worked well. Yeah. Yeah.
And but good character interactions really and all of that, even with all the heat and the humidity and all that going crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's completely air conditioned in there. I mean, it was very, you know, it was very nice inside there. So that's kind of where it was part of the thinking was let's get the character interactions for the kids inside the restaurant.
Right. Instead of waiting in lines out there.
Yeah, exactly. We kind of did that the whole trip. We didn't really wait, you know, in any long lines outside at any part in the trip. So, yeah, so it worked out well. And that was pretty much our whole Animal Kingdom day. It was just doing that.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that sounds like a nice way to manage it. You know, when the heat got oppressive, you found indoor things to keep you occupied. And, you know, those were the things that the kids wanted to get done anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we kind of took the same approach with the studios. We went one morning. I think it was Saturday morning. We went early, kind of did the big headliners, you know, Toy Story Mania, Star Tours, which my kids loved and wanted to do again. So I was all for that. That was great. They're not big enough or excited enough, as far as my older daughter is concerned, to go on the Rock and Roller Coaster or the Tower Terror.
Okay.
So those two are out at this point. And so we just did, you know, Toy Story, we did the Muppets, we did Star Tours. So we kind of hit a lot of those smaller, easier to get through rides. We had the Fast Pass Plus for the bigger ones. And then did Sci-Fi Dining for lunch that day. And kind of did the same thing. Hit it up, stayed in as many indoor type of areas, restaurants, rides as we could to keep it cool. And then just kind of spent the half day there.
All right. Yeah.
And then so our family's big on... you know, with the kids being younger, big on Magic Kingdom, big on Epcot at night. So we did that. We've kind of spent most of the time at Magic Kingdom, especially given that we're on the monorail, and then, you know, walked over and took the monorail to Epcot for most, you know, not most, but a few of the evenings and one of the days.
Oh, nice. Okay. And now, how did you find the monorail service? Because, you know, we've heard kind of mixed reports, and there was some time there where, frankly, it wasn't running well at all. And I would think at the Polynesian, you would notice it really more than anywhere else, since you've got access to both monorail lines. You're using it even more, maybe, than you might otherwise.
Yeah, we used it a lot. So I mean, every day we were on it a few different times to go either to the Magic Kingdom or over to Epcot. And overall, I'd say it was fine. I mean, it was great, actually. I think there was one time that the monorail to Epcot wasn't running. And so they just walked us over to a bus. They just had the bus service going. The line for the bus wasn't overly crowded. So that was the one time we had an issue. We probably waited 5 minutes for a bus, got on. Bus drove you over. It really wasn't that big of an inconvenience whatsoever. Other than that, going to and from Epcot, no other issues. And I don't think we had one issue with the resort monorail.
Excellent. That's great to hear.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. There was one day, actually, I walked out and they said, we're having a problem with the resort monorail. It could be a long time. You might want to take the boat. And so we looked and there was a very long line for the boat. And we looked overhead, and the resort monorail started going again. So we walked right up. So it just may have been lucky timing on our part.
Right.
But we really didn't have any trouble with it. So yeah, really happy with that service.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so let's talk about your sort of overall experience with the Magic Kingdom on this vacation. First of all, you booked, if I remember right, kind of just in time initially to get those FastPass Plus reservations made. So did you manage to get what you were looking for? And, what were the big goals on this trip?
Yeah. We were able to get everything. I think we were, since we were probably just more than 60 days out,
yeah,
we were able to get on. And My wife is amazing. I think she woke up at midnight the night of and got on and got, you know, all the big ticket ones and all the things we definitely wanted to hit, you know, both restaurant and Fast Pass Plus. She did both of those. I don't think we were in time. I don't think we did any big restaurants, so the time for that didn't matter. But for the Fast Pass Plus, at like 6 days, she was out. She was at midnight. She got them all done. And we really took advantage of that because, again, we didn't want to wait in any lines outside. So we were pretty much hitting the parks, rope drop, going in. We actually used touring plans for the first time. We actually used the touring plan itself.
Right,
in
right.
The touring
you used
plans.
The recommendations.
Exactly. We set up, you know, the things we wanted to do and followed their optimize. And we hadn't done that in years and years because we just kind of got good at knowing what we wanted to do and what we didn't.
Right.
But we actually used it because we didn't want to wait in any lines whatsoever. So we took advantage of that. We used our FastPass Plus and really just spent as little time as possible out in the heat, as much time on the, you know, on the rides or waiting in lines inside buildings and stuff. My kids, again, aren't into the big thrill rides. So Space Mountain was out. Splash and Thunder Mountain both were in. They each separately love those. I think Splash Mountain is my son's favorite ride. Thunder Mountain is my daughter's favorite ride. So we did those quite a bit. And then everything else, we just kind of tried to make sure we hit every other ride at least once, you know, at some point during the vacation because we had the time. And then spent a lot of time doing things like the Carousel of Progress or the People Mover, those kind of things that you should just get on and kind of, you know, right. Not have to wait around. Yeah. So we did all that, felt like we were able to hit, you know, everything that we wanted to do and really see everything without spending a ton of time in the park. It was nice.
All right. Great. Yeah. Great. And you mentioned that you didn't do any big, you know, restaurants in the park. So sounds like you mostly were eating lunch either back at the resort or were you using, you know, counter service options in the park as well? Or were you pretty much out of the park by lunchtime?
Yeah. So we utilized counter service at the parks for the most part. We kind of, the standard would do is, go to the resort in the morning, kind of have a quick breakfast, go to the resort in the morning, do a counter service at, at the park, not the resort, do a counter service at the park, for lunch, come back to the resort, do the pool, naps, that kind of stuff, go back to the parks at night. And for the most part, it was counter service again for dinner, with the exception of, like I said, we did Tusker House and Sci-Fi for lunches. Right. We did a Via Napoli lunch one day. But I don't think, thinking back, I don't think we had any dinners. I think all of our table service were mostly lunches, you know, earlier in the day.
Right, right. Getting out of the heat and using that as an opportunity to get into the air conditioning in the park.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
All right. So any of those counter service experiences at Magic Kingdom stand out one way or the other, good or bad?
You know, they were all pretty good. We did Columbia Harbor House one night for dinner, and that was really nice. For some reason, the upstairs there is never crowded, and
yeah,
I love that.
Yeah,
it was great. We were able to kind of go and get our stuff and sit up there, and it was quiet. It was just us. It was really, really nice experience there. And the other ones were all pretty good. We tried to hit them early enough since, you know, there were still pretty big crowds while we were there. So we tried to get to the restaurants early enough that we could, you know, grab our food, go and sit, have a good place to sit and eat without fighting too much of a crowd. So,
sure.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
All right. So that was Magic Kingdom. Most of the time you were Magic Kingdom in the mornings, head back to resort, take your break, then head back out and head over to Epcot. Now, were you, you know, hitting the Future World attractions and things, or was the time at Epcot mostly about World Showcase?
Yeah. So one morning we went to Epcot. I think that was our last, like, full day. And that's when we did that's when we did all the rides, and that's when we hit Soaring, and that's when we hit Imagination, and everything in between. I don't think we did we didn't do Test Track. My kids aren't that big into it, so I don't think we did that one. But otherwise, we hit Spaceship Earth, and you know, most of the rides there. at night, we really just did World Showcase. My kids loved the Duffy Bear stuff. They liked going and seeing some of the movies of the different worlds. They liked those, all the different little shows and stuff at the worlds. My daughter has unfortunately turned the age where she loves to shop now. So her and my wife spent like...
I'm sorry to hear that, Paul.
So they spent a while in Morocco. That's their favorite spot. So they spent a while there shopping. And PJ and I went to UK and got a beer. For me, he got a sword and a shield from the store. And we watched the... It's not the British Revolution anymore, but... whatever the band is that they have.
No, it is British. I think it is the British, Revolution is what they call it, or British Invasion or something like that.
Yeah, okay, it's British
Instead
invasion.
Of
yeah.
being what it was before, which I'm going to draw a blank on.
Yeah, same. So we did that one night, really spent a lot of time there,
And a very different story than it would have been had it been the other way around if, you'd gone into the store and gotten a shield and sword.
Yeah, exactly. It worked out much better this way. There were a lot less customer complaints. So it was good. It was really good. That night was nice. We were able to stay and do illuminations and kind of that was the big night that we were there. The other nights we just kind of, got some eat and drink and we'd go back to the resort kind of early. So we only stayed Epcot one night for illuminations.
All right. I've heard that they've done some sort of minor tweaks at illuminations, new laser light stuff and things like that to maybe improve it just a little bit. Did you notice any of that?
No, didn't really notice the difference.
So nothing that was significant enough to stand out for somebody who'd seen it before.
Yeah, we've seen it a bunch of times and I wasn't even aware of it until you mentioned it. So it wasn't anything that really would have wowed you, I guess.
All right.
Yeah.
So anything else about Epcot, either dining or attractions that, stands out from the trip, other than your experience with PJ over in the UK?
No, not too much. We did Via Napoli one day for lunch, and that was, that was really fun. That's always, I think, a really good one to do. It was his birthday, the day we went there, so they did a big thing with, a little candle and a cupcake for him and everything and did the song. So cool little experience there. Otherwise, no, just mostly walking around. They're still doing that Duffy Bear thing for the kids, which my kids love, which is great because they'll just sit and color in these little cardboard Duffy Bears and learn to get their names written in different languages. And that's still a pretty cool experience to keep the kids occupied while the parents just kind of hang out and take it all in. So
sure. Yeah. It does give you that chance to just experience the pavilions nice and slow like you want to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I guess I know it was really hot. So did you want to spend or did you try and spend any time checking out the progress down in downtown Disney / Disney Springs?
No. No, we really didn't go down there at all. We didn't have a lot of time, anyways, to just go, to see it. We were kind of there 6 nights, so between our park days and the things we kind of had planned, we had a couple different things, especially at night. We were either at Epcot enjoying the resort, or actually one night, the last night we were there, we did the Pirates Cruise.
Oh, well, now see, we got awfully far into this before I knew about the Pirates Cruise.
Yeah.
So tell me about the Pirates Cruise.
This was really pretty neat. So, as we had said before, my sister was down there and my brother-in-law were down there for 2 days. Pretty much the last 2 days of our trip and the second to last day of our trip being my son's birthday. So they wanted to do something special for him for his birthday. So they booked this pirate cruise for the family and it's a really neat experience. A lot cooler than I even thought it would have been, but it starts with the Contemporary. And you go in, and it's a dessert party. It's up in kind of one of the conference room areas in the dessert party. The dessert party, conference room areas in the Contemporary. They have, all the desserts, all the, the ice creams and a bunch of cakes and different drinks and coffee and pretty much anything you could want for dessert. And they have Captain Hook and Shmi. And then a bunch of other kind of pirates there, and the kids get to go and take their pictures and kind of have more of a personal interaction with them than you normally would just at like a character meet and greet.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's cool. So they do that for, I think, for a half an hour. We kind of hung out in that area. They start you off, I should say, they start you off with like a scavenger hunt all around the Contemporary. So you go up and it's a scout. They give you a list and you go do the scavenger hunt. And then when you finish that, that's when you go in and meet, you know, Captain Hook and Shmi, and the kids do all that stuff. It was neat. And then they split you up into two groups and they take you down to the dock at the Contemporary. And they have two of the smaller boats. So if you can picture kind of the passenger boats that go to and from the Contemporary to Wilderness, or from MK over to the Polynesian or the Grand Floridian.
Right, right.
They're kind of those smaller covered.
Right, the launches that do that sort of, it's not so much a circle route because they don't go all the way out and around, but they just sort of run back and forth along Bay exactly. Lake and Seven Seas Lagoon.
Exactly, probably seat, I don't know, 50 or 60 people maybe.
Yeah, if that.
It might even be less than that. They have two of those, so they put you on that, and then it's, I think it was probably an hour. They cruise you kind of out and along Bay Lake and then to the Seven Seas Lagoon. They do a lot of Disney trivia where they give out prizes mostly for the kids and stuff. And then they pull you, you know, Seven Seas Lagoon right in front of the Magic Kingdom for Wishes. And so you just sit there and watch Wishes. Really cool view, all the music coming through the speakers on the boat. They then bring you back, and Peter Pan is waiting for the kids and does like a really nice meet and greet with the kids.
Cool.
And the whole thing is probably 2 hours or so, and really cool experience. Nothing that I had done before. I'd done some dessert parties and stuff, but to have the dessert party with that theming for the kids and the wishes viewing, you know, from the water. It's a really, really cool experience. I would highly suggest it to anybody that you know is down there that has kids into that kind of thing. It was really impressive.
See, and what's so great about that is that you look at this thing initially, and I think you get some initial sticker shock, right? You see what it costs to do this, and you maybe recoil initially. But that last piece with what you were just talking about is, you know, this isn't. I guess some people feel like, you know, you pay this money and it feels like you're paying an admission charge to see the fireworks that you can see for free.
Right.
But that's not really what it is. You got a 2.5 hour really personal experience that included, you know, a special dessert party, character interactions, and fireworks from a unique vantage point, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All in one.
Yeah, exactly. And my son is huge into the pirates. He's into, you know, Peter Pan and Jake and the Neverland Pirates, and like he loves pirates. It's his thing. So for him, I mean, he was on cloud nine. It's, you know, for kids that are into that, this is an experience like no other down there. I mean, it's beyond anything that he had done as far as like him getting immersed into kind of the action. He was just thrilled with it. I mean, the whole thing was really well done. If you have kids that are into, an adult maybe as well, I don't know, but if you're into that kind of theming, it was really, really well done and definitely worth the price, especially because Tim and Janet paid for it.
Well, that's an important note. I'll make sure to include in the show notes that anybody who wants to do the Pirates cruise should bill it to Tim.
Yeah, Tim is more than happy to pay for any and all comers to go on the Pirate cruise.
Okay, no, well, that's good to know. Tim, thank you so much from me and the rest of the guys. we really appreciate the generosity. all right, so I guess, you know, as we kind of are wrapping things up, anything else besides the pirate cruise that you've been, you know, holding back on me here on? Anything else that was particularly a standout experience either way that we haven't talked about?
You know, the only other thing I'd say, and this really was more the kids' vantage point, was that Lilo's Clubhouse, which is at the Polynesian, which is basically, you know, it's... They equate it to the kids club on the cruises. And again, not having done a cruise, I can't say one way or the other. I get the impression it's not quite as impressive.
Yeah, it's a somewhat similar model, but it skews a little younger than the kids clubs on the cruise ship. I think the kids clubs do a better job of engaging, you know, older kids than the version of the kids clubs that are, you know, on the resort property.
Sure. And
partially because, you know, they kind of only allow kids up to age 12 there anyway. So, you know, if you're on the cruise
right.
ship, they accommodate older kids. They just segment them into other clubs. But yeah, I mean, I think that they are similar. At least the model is similar.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it was, the kids really liked it. My daughter's 7 and my son just turned 4 during the trip. So
they're right in the sweet spot.
Perfect age. I mean, they have video games, they have movies, they have dress up, they have arts and crafts, they feed them dinner. They kind of take care of all of that stuff. The price point's pretty good. I think it was $15 an hour per kid. And then you get, if you're a DVC or annual pass holder, you get, I think, 15 or 20% off that.
Yeah, I think that might have been your discount rate. If I remember right, last time I looked, I think it was 18 an hour, but they give you a break on the second kid.
Okay. Maybe that's what it was. Yeah, maybe that's what it was. But it didn't work out to be too bad, you know, to put them in for 2 or 3 hours. And
sure.
Again, that was the time we went and did Trader Sam's. We did, you know,
right.
Tambu Lounge. We kind of did our thing. We shopped a little bit. We were able to have a little bit of time, and you feel comfortable knowing they're there. It's a dedicated area. They do a really good job with it. Kids loved it. Kids raved about it, you know, kept wanting to go back. So that was a pretty cool experience for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the reality is that if they were adults and were with you at Trader Sam's, it would have been at least $18 an hour per kid.
You know? Oh, yeah,
I
exactly.
mean, that's what you would have spent on them there.
Oh, absolutely. yeah, at least with the souvenir mugs, it's probably close
well, exactly.
to 30. Yeah, exactly.
So, all right. Well, you know, I guess I never like to end a show without giving you an opportunity to give a bit of advice to the next person who's looking at a similar vacation. So, you know, what did you learn this time that you think would be helpful to somebody else next time?
Yeah, good question. I think especially with the time we went down, the weather, and the fact that we were staying at the Polynesian was, you know, do the resort, enjoy the resort, especially if you go a lot and you've done the parks quite a bit and you've kind of done, you know, maybe Downtown Disney, you've seen what else Disney World has to offer. We really spent a lot of time taking advantage of the resort because, again, being DVC members at Bay Lake, didn't know when the next time we'd come back here was. And there's a lot to offer. I mean, there was there's little things. My daughter took hula lessons, which is just something they offer every day at the Polynesian. Just a little thing that the resort does. And there's a lot of little stuff like that that goes on. There's a lot of little things to do. You know, they did a campfire. I think they do it every night. But one night we went out and the kids roasted marshmallows, did the campfire. They usually do those movies on the beach or wherever it is at the resort. They do movies every night. And so we really tried to focus on taking advantage of what the resort has to offer, which sometimes can be a challenge.
Sure.
Because you feel like you paid so much for your park tickets and you get hoppers and all that kind of stuff. You say, I got to get my value out of these. You start to feel like you really need to do the parks to get your value. But there really is a lot at the resorts to take advantage of. So that would be my piece of advice is really spend your time there as much as you can and see what they have to offer.
All right. Well, that's a great bit of advice. Thanks for coming back on the show and talking to us about this vacation. It sounds like you guys had a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Aaron. It was a really good time, and thank you to you for all your help planning it.
Well, you're welcome. It was a pleasure. And we'll look forward to hearing from you again when you come back, maybe after the cruise.
Sounds good.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.